Welcome to episode 2 of So We Just Watched.
So We Just Watched.
Not So We Just Saw, we decided against last episode.
Yeah, because that sounds bad.
But it could extend our reach to things that we've seen. Okay, we're not starting this.
One second, listen to this. I gotta get a clean of this.
Guess what he's drinking in the comments of this episode, and you'll get a free trip to come meet us.
No.
In person. Yeah, it's true. It's Coke.
If you guess right, and then, you know, feel safe with this idea, then you just text us at my phone number, and I'll email you. No. I'll real mail you in the snail mail in a package. I'll mail you an orange.
And himself.
No, but I'll mail you an orange.
He'll pop out of the orange.
Yeah. No. So we just watched, and in this episode, we just watched A Quiet Place Part 2.
The second one.
Wow.
It was like the first one, but even better. And also not a whole lot like the first one.
Not a whole lot like the first one. Before we get into the meat of the movie, I really still think it could have been called A Quieter Place. Tonally, A Quiet Place Part 2 is better by a long shot. But just think of the potential of A Quieter Place.
Yeah, but the world's getting louder.
Yeah, the movie is not quieter.
So they can't. They can't name it that, so part two it is.
Part two.
Anyways, part two. What?
What to talk about?
I don't know.
So, this isn't spoiler free. You can't... Spoiler free, dumb.
Yeah, it's impossible. Why are you listening about this if you... Just go see the damn... Oh, shit! just go see the movie.
Go see the movie.
Sorry about that. We'll bleep it out.
We will.
Just go see the damn...
I'll just do that thing where, like, you play it backwards.
Just go see the... Yeah, they'll never know. Okay, anyway, yeah. So, what were we talking about?
A Quiet Place Part 2. Is it good? Is it bad?
Yeah, we're talking about spoilers.
It's good, yeah. So, this isn't spoiler-free. I think... I don't even like the idea of spoiler-free reviews. It's just too
hard. Here's your spoiler-free review. Just go see it, because it's good.
Yeah.
End of spoiler-free review.
It's, it's probably, on a 10 scale, 9.
That's bold. I'm going to put it at an 8.5.
I was debating 8.5. I just feel like if I'm going to give it an 8.5, I really liked it, and so it's a 9.
Yeah, there is. The 0.5 point doesn't really change much of anything between the two, but 9 sounds better. It was good. There's your spoiler free. On to the spoilers. Everyone died.
Yeah, not really anyone dies. They show, one thing that I like is they show the world, you know, the movie starts with the day one of the attack of these creatures, seemingly aliens.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah, and a lot of people do die. This movie has a lot of on-screen death.
It does, it does. A lot more than the first one.
Yeah, because the first one you just, you know the one batch of characters. And that's it.
Pretty much.
So
yeah.
John Krasinski dies, and their son dies.
Oh, yeah.
One's tough.
Yeah. But, like, in the opening as well, something that we both thought was pretty cool is the mirrored shots of the opening of the first one and the opening of the second one. Kind of mirror in a lot of ways.
Yeah. The first movie opens with them going into that pharmacy, and it shows the town all falling apart, and, you know, it's your first time ever seeing it. It's all mysterious and new what happened here. The second one opens with the same town, but, you know, before the attack and everything's normal. But a lot of the shots mirror, you know, they focus on very, very clearly the traffic light. The second shot in both movies is of a traffic light. And it's the same traffic light. And things like that, that just, it references itself in a lot of ways that are very cool and thoughtful and non-essential.
Yeah, and decently subtle. Like, I'm sure a lot of people will have no idea that those mirror.
Right.
And probably just not even
pick it up. I noticed because I just watched A Quiet Place Part 1 twice this last week.
Yeah.
And so when I went to see the second one, I picked up on a lot of little things like that.
Yeah, it's important to note that the movies are, yeah, very interconnected and dependent on each other.
I wouldn't try to enjoy the second one without having seen the first one.
Yeah.
Wouldn't recommend it.
No, it's just not going to be near as good. And also just, yeah, I think there are a lot of what kind of carries the movie up to being an 8.5 or a 9 are those subtle things, because it's a solid movie, but I think that it's the little things that are elevating it more than, like, any big choices that
they
made.
The fact that as a sequel, you know, it's got a clear start, middle, and end, and, you know, it's not entirely, plot-wise, it's independent from the first movie, but also, story-wise, it's entirely not. All the plots in the second movie start in the second movie, but the story only works because of the first movie.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting thing.
Yeah. I think that, I don't know, do you think this one's scarier than the first one or less scary?
There are, the moments of extreme peril in the second one felt more dire. I mean, in both movies, I found myself entirely gripped with suspense and unable to breathe, and I had to actively remind myself to breathe, because I was holding it, and so both movies do a really good job of just holding you in suspense. The second one, I think the stakes felt higher a couple times.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I don't know, that's an interesting one. I feel like, you know, I don't know if I could go either way, actually. They're kind of scary in different ways, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
The first one had some more weird jump scares kind of put in there.
Mm-hmm.
The second one still has some jump scares, but nowhere near as many as the first.
No.
Which I really appreciate. And there was, like, even moments in the movie, and especially watching it. This was actually the second time I've seen it, but,
Yeah, he saw it without me.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But,
he's not.
Got me off my
train. Yeah, we threw him off with
wait.
The guilt here. Guilt train! Don't watch movies without me!
What the poop?
That's suspense. That's scary.
Oh, yeah. I don't remember where I was at in my point. I don't want to start from the beginning.
You're saying the first one had more,
Oh, jump scares. Yeah, the second one. Oh, that's what I was saying.
Fewer fake-outs.
Fewer fake-outs, and there were even moments in the movie where, like, they could have done it, like, specifically where, like, somebody's... There's just... In the first one, there's a part where, like, you know, they just grab someone's hand.
Yeah,
and it's like...
They make it a jump scare by taking the music down and then putting the music in.
Yeah.
And cutting and doing things like that.
There's nothing scary about that action, though, so it's like...
Why was that?
The second one does not have near as many. There's a few that, like, almost qualify of, like, birds flying away or like...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's small ones, but they're just fewer and far betweener than in the first one.
You see a lot of dead bodies, and that's kind of freaky in its own right. Some of the dead body sites are jumps, but most of them are just... There's things in this movie that are, like, scarring to see without being, you know, jump scary or scary. It's scary, like, that's freaky. I didn't like looking at that.
Really? Wait, what? Which part?
I just think some of the gore in this movie is a little more intense.
Between the
moment with the bear trap, like, literally...
That's the worst part.
That's freaky. I don't like watching that.
Yeah, that's actually the only part of the movie that I actively, like, yet dislike.
Yeah, well, and I don't, like, dislike it, because I think it adds to the movie. I think it was a good choice.
Yeah.
But it's hard to watch. It's that kind of, like, can't look away... Gross.
Yeah.
Scary. Like, I don't know how to say that. But there's also a couple moments where the creatures are attacking people and just kind of tear them open. And, you know, it's hard to feel it as much because you don't know how the creature feels and, like, you know.
I think he feels kill. I think that's all he feels.
Yeah, no, I don't mean emotionally. I mean, like, it's hard to see that action and understand what it would feel like.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a little bit less identifiable as watching a kid step in a bear trap.
Everybody's stepped
still
in
gross.
A bear trap before, you know? It's a relatable feeling.
But you know what iron...
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Yeah, you don't know what alien claw feels like going
through
your
But it looks
stomach.
Like it hurts.
Yeah, a little.
Yeah.
I couldn't... I don't know. I'd try it. once or twice.
In the last sequence, two different people get clawed in the leg.
Both
of them hurt a
okay,
lot
so,
to watch.
Okay, so that's an important topic to talk about, is in the first one, the suspense builds pretty linearly
mm-hmm.
through one sequence
mm-hmm.
The whole time at the farm. And in this one, it kind of builds through three different sequences that are... Wow. Can't talk. Three different sequences that are all playing out at the same time and kind of interweaving in and out of each other. All of which are... Yeah, they're building up tension in their own right. And then all together, they're also just building tension. So you have, like, tension coming from three different places as it builds in this movie. And then after a time, it splits to two. And then that's kind of how it ends. But there's a lot more story happening in this one all around than in the first one.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot more that goes on. I mean,
the timing,
the first one happens, like you said, linearly. And so you would think, oh, you're spending the whole movie on one story. You could do a lot with that. But the thing is, every action in the first movie is drawn out and slow and takes like 15 minutes for kind of anything major to actually happen. So it's a very slow one kind of thing. But this movie moves a lot farther in its, what is it, like 2 hours?
It's an hour and a half.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
That was a very long hour and a half.
It is, yep. I remember thinking that the first time. I was like, maybe it won't be this time. But no, it feels like, yeah, a two-hour or more movie.
Yeah.
It's very dense.
It uses its time well. It gets places. And it moves, like, right off the bat, you notice it's moving quicker, which I really like.
Yeah.
Because it's still suspenseful, you're still gripped, but you're also looking forward to the next, like, character goal, I guess. There's kind of a plot that is holding you in hope, equally as the suspense is holding you in suspense.
Yeah, that's true.
The first one doesn't seem to have a lot of hope to point to.
No,
they're
kind of just
living.
Yeah, just survive. Yeah, this one is... They have a goal. This is not spoiler-free, so we can talk about it. Basically, after finding that they could use the cochlear implant to zappy-zappy the monster,
yeah,
they run away from the farm and find an old friend from before it all happened. And while they're there, they hear this radio signal that's playing Beyond the Sea.
By Bobby Darin. Excellent.
By Bobby Darin.
You know, if you got to have one song in your movie, Beyond the Sea is an excellent choice.
It is an excellent choice. It's fantastic. Anyway, they hear this, and the girl pinpoints that it's coming from an island, and she thinks that she can get to the island and transmit the cochlear implant noise through the speakers so that they could start killing the monsters everywhere. And so that's kind of the driving force and goal of the story, is her getting out there. And on the way,
all kinds of crazy shenanigans happen.
Yeah, but she teams up with the dude that they found. They don't say their names ever in the movies.
Yeah, they do. So the dad's name is Lee. The dude's name
that.
Is Emmett. She says
Emmett.
It like twice.
Oh, bro, twice in an hour and a half movie.
You've seen it twice.
Yeah.
You've heard his name four times.
Yeah, but
you don't even remember
it. I just look at his face. He's got a good face. And anyway, he teams up with the girl. Boy, yeah, see, they don't say their names a lot. I'm sure they, like, named off them once, but I have no idea what her name is. I'd have to look it up.
Oh, they totally said it, and I remember, like, vaguely, but no.
Yeah, unfortunately. The deaf girl and that guy, Emmett, team up, and then they're heading to the island. And I think that part of the movie is the best part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think their dynamic is really good for people.
Yeah.
Who have played video games or play video games or know The Last of Us.
Okay.
Joel
yeah.
and Ellie.
Similar.
It's very similar. And the setting's very similar, like this certain zombie apocalypse kind of deal world where it's, yeah, their team. And it's just like, but it's really good.
Yeah.
It like takes a very similar route as that does, and it works very well.
I hadn't even thought of that. I haven't played The Last of Us, nor do I know very much, but I do know that Joel and Ellie's kind of a famously successful
yeah.
character thing. I do really like them together in the movie, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very fun to see these characters who you don't know much about and learn a lot about them from each other.
Yeah.
And, like, it was cool.
Yeah, the two things that I like about him also are, yeah, for one, I like that the movie doesn't strictly focus on the same characters as the first one. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, the first one focused a lot on Emily Blunt.
Yeah, Emily Blunt and John Krasinski.
Like, it focused a lot on them, and then the second one takes the focus off of them and puts it on a new character and the girl who you get to see some of in the first one.
And one thing I liked that they did subtly is had the kids, both of the kids from the first movie who are grown enough, you know, not the infant, but they, by the end of the movie, have sort of fulfilled in different ways the role that their dad was playing before he died.
Mm-hmm.
And they move from a place of sadness from losing him to, like, accepting that and realizing that they now have to step into those shoes.
Yeah.
And then they do.
Yeah, that's a really cool theme. I like the... Hope is a big theme of the movie. That I was, like, thinking about it the whole way through, and then there was a scene where they pretty much just... They were just straight up, like...
Lay it out.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a big theme of the movie, and it's cool to see Emmett and the girl are both, at the beginning of the movie, very closed off and angry and just bitter. And so Emmett lost his wife and his kids, and the girl had just lost her dad. So and her brother, yeah. As they team up, you start to see them, like, fulfill those roles in each other
mm-hmm.
that were missing, and you get to see them kind of start to open up to each other and also just to the world around them a little more. And I just think it's just very well done. And it's something that it's also done decently subtly. Like, it's not just like, oh, okay, I see exactly what it like.
Yeah, they don't slap it in your face, but
no.
If you're, it's there.
And it's really good. And we were talking about this before, about the first one and the second one, and saying that its genre is wholesome horror, because
mm-hmm.
it's horror that deals with actual positive themes and messages.
Yeah, it has a point, and it's not just here to scare you and, like, give you bad dreams. Which, sorry if horror movies give you bad dreams, but I would still recommend you watch it. It leaves you kind of thinking about good things, and it points to good things, I think, even though there is that suspense, scary movie element.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has good intentions.
It does. And it fulfills them in both movies very well.
Yeah. I think that's probably owed in a lot of ways to just John Krasinski being the kind of guy he is. If,
mm-hmm.
you know, as far as we can tell from his public persona, he seems to really care about those kinds of, you know, family and trust and spreading that kind of positivity to people through his work.
Yeah.
And it's not, you know, perpetuating negative ideals that media and Hollywood can sometimes focus on.
It's true.
He seems to have good focuses.
Kind of doing, yeah, his own thing. I think that does... It's really cool, and it does separate the movie from...
Other horror.
A lot of other horror in a way where, like, yeah, you could watch that with your family. I mean, obviously,
mm-hmm.
there is some violence. I wouldn't
recommend it for little kids.
PG-13 is probably a fair rating for it, I feel
mm-hmm.
like. Once you get into 14, 15, especially these days with what kids can find on their own, like... I know there's this idea that... Yeah, never mind. That's a whole other conversation. Anyways.
You want to do summary?
A 14-year-old can watch this movie.
Yeah.
That's what we decided.
Well, it's PG-13. I would say a 13-year-old
watch. A 13, maybe even 12 if you really trust them.
Maybe even 8.
I'm thinking 10 is...
10. Okay, okay.
But we've settled on 10. 10
about,
is the minimum age.
You parent your own kids.
No, we'll parent.
In our 21-year-old opinion, any child whose parent thinks they're old enough to watch this movie is old enough to watch this movie.
Yeah. There we go.
Wow.
Summary. Summary, summary. Summary.
Yeah, like springy and wintry, but...
Okay. There she is.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
What else do we have to say about the movie? Cinematography? Good. You know, not maybe incredible,
no.
but does the job.
Yeah, it is. It's
it's plain.
I think it's co-directed by Quentin Tarantino for sure. The amount of feet shots in that movie, like, I know it's for this, like,
it's because stepping
yeah,
is key. You know,
it
the
is.
Sound you make when you walk.
But there are a lot of feet shots in this movie. I don't remember so many in the first one.
There were a lot in the first one.
Where I don't even.
There's
remember.
A lot because
okay.
the whole thing with the staircase and the nail.
And
then
well, okay,
every
yeah,
so then like that's one sequence, but also every time they go down the stairs, from then on, they show the feet.
Yeah.
And every time in the beginning when they're walking, the whole series in the first few minutes where they're walking from the store back home before the kid dies, follows their feet. You see a lot of... The first shot of a person in the first movie is the kid who ends up dying gets his feet. There's a lot of feet shots.
A lot of feet shots. Okay.
And it's not in a sexy way, though.
No, not at all.
No,
they're
I wouldn't
gross,
be concerned.
Disgusting.
Any
feet
kid
up feet.
Whose parents think they're old enough can watch this
Unless
movie.
Unless they have a weird fear of feet, because that's going to make it actually horrifying to watch
yeah.
this movie. So maybe don't bring your foot fearing little kid. All right, summary. Oh, we didn't even say the end of the movie. We should, because we explained, like, the drive. Well, do you want to know the end? Do we say the end? Or do
I don't know. We'll let them watch the end, you know. If
there's an end to this movie.
It's good.
It's similar to the first, where it leaves you wanting more.
It does, and it seems like they left it open-ended for a part three.
Yeah, I would assume so.
Yeah, it feels like a part three should come. There's things in the first movie, or in the second one, that... left questions for later.
Yeah.
For instance, how did the aliens get here? Like, what's the story there? I feel like it... But also, maybe it won't ever go there.
I don't think
maybe,
so.
Maybe it doesn't need to.
I think if there's a third one, it's... I think it's gonna have, like, no aliens. And I think it's just gonna be about...
society recuperating?
Yeah, about people versus people at that point.
Hmm.
That's what I think. If there's gonna be a third one. I mean, I'm sure there will be some of the aliens, but much less of an emphasis on them and much more of an emphasis on how people have changed since the beginning.
Could be cool.
That is something that they, like...
briefly get into.
They very briefly get into. The guy, or Emmett at the beginning, is like, oh yeah, the people out here aren't worth saving anymore, everyone's bad.
Yeah.
And then you run into some bad people at a point of the movie. So.
Yeah, it seems like they wanted to go somewhere with that, and they kind of didn't.
Yeah, it just, it's not bad, it's just a little weird, because it's very underutilized kind of in and out.
Mm-hmm. They use it maybe three times.
And, yeah, it's,
I think.
It feels like setup, I don't know.
Also, when they get to the island, this is kind of off topic, but when they get to the island and they're first seeing the people, like, around the fire and stuff, was there a part of you that got mentally ready for, like, a cult thing to be happening?
That's absolutely what I thought was happening.
I really kind of wanted it, too.
Yeah.
I was like, that would have been so cool if, like, they find the people alive on this island, and it turns out to be some, like, weird cult.
Yeah, I was hoping that's... Yeah, so... And I do kind of wish that's what it was, but...
But, you know, it also made sense, like, oh, there's, like, here's the people who lived, you know, we're
mm-hmm.
living peacefully on this island.
Yes.
It was weird that they were all just, like, vibing and happy. Because they had to be aware that the outside world was still, like, dying.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they were aware because they were sending out the... So these people...
are broadcasting the signal of beyond the sea with hopes that people figure it out.
Yeah,
to
and
come
that's
to,
it.
To get them.
No, just come to live with them.
Yeah,
to
come to live with them.
The
like,
aliens can't swim.
Yeah, that's big.
That's
we learned they can't swim.
They can't swim. So if you're on an island and you don't have one on the island, unless they pilot a boat to your island...
Yeah.
Which does happen, unfortunately.
They don't pilot a boat. They drift.
He pulls the boat. Yeah, no, they just drift.
They just drift, and it's not that far-fetched, because the marina and the island
They're
are,
close.
You know, very, like, a human could swim it. So a boat could drift it. A human
Was
could
it
swim
it.
That they,
close?
When they showed the
a
shot.
A very fit human could swim it.
Sure.
But
I think
yeah,
a person
it's possible.
Could.
I
think an 8-year-old could do it.
If their mom and dad say they can.
The 8-year-old who could watch this movie could swim to that island.
Just hop them up on some energy drinks and, like, Cliff Bars and...
Sour Patch Kids. Kid could swim to that island on some Sour Patch Kids
yeah.
for sure.
We cut out some stuff back there for sure. You're not gonna... You didn't hear a lot of that, but just know the kid can swim.
Yeah.
And do not send him on his way with any sort of thing. Just let him go. Just let him go.
That sounds way worse.
It doesn't. Just leave that in. Okay, next. That does pose a weird problem, though, is that these evil people who are living on these docks with all these boats never thought to go to the island.
They never thought to go to the island. There are evil people living in the marina who try and kill them before they get to the
island.
They're
like crazy cult people.
And they, I guess they're maybe just too crazy to think about taking a boat over to Happy Town, but there had to have been a time before they were all crazy where they weren't crazy.
Yeah.
And they could have taken a boat over to the probably visibly populated island, given the very small size of the island.
And they're having fires over there.
Yeah. And they're being loud.
Yeah.
If you were all quiet because aliens and there was someone being loud less than a mile from you, you would hear it.
Yeah, so that's probably the only big detracting plot point that I can think of.
Is why weren't more people going over there.
Yeah, there's a few other small things that'll pop up, but they're small ones and very easily, like, rationalized or ignorable.
Yeah.
But that one is big enough to the point of kind of being like, what? Really?
I think what I like, the first A Quiet Place felt very original and very, you know, solidly thought out and executed of a original concept in a really good way. The second one, tonally, felt more like a classic kind of horror movie. Like, there were moments that felt Jaws or Jurassic Park-esque.
Yeah, like classic.
Yeah, it felt like an old horror movie, but with that, you know, still the original A Quiet Place concept.
That's true.
But it just, I like that kind of old-time classic movie feel.
It's because, you know what those old-time classic movie feels are? They're wholesome horror. Like, Jurassic Park is
wholesome horror. Yeah, that's true.
And so is Jaws, in its own way. Not as much, but still, I think it deals with themes.
No, Jaws is wholesome horror.
I haven't seen in a long time.
Oh, it's pretty good.
But,
you know?
I think we're just, it's the same thing.
Family, parenthood, those are kinds of the central themes in there.
Yeah. So, yeah, wholesome horror, just make more of those movies and we'll give them nines and
talk about it. Yeah, I mean, it kind of always works.
It in general, yeah. I can't think of any. I mean,
unless you just make a bad movie, which okay. So I guess good movies are good movies. How about that? Wholesome horror always works unless it doesn't. Then it doesn't.
That's true. I'm trying to think if there's any that I can think of off the top of my head that are wholesome horror or trying to be and just are garbage, but I feel like it's going to take me a while to think of some. I guess you just look up PG-13 horror movies.
Well, let's think here. Jurassic Park 2.
That
is a bad movie.
Yeah.
Sorry for the Jeff Goldblum stans who love the movie. I know you're out there, but it's not a good movie. It's just Jeff Goldblum and a T-Rex.
It's pretty garbage.
Yeah.
The third one is a step up. Wait, why? Now to talk about Jurassic Park.
Yeah, that's my kind of time. This is like my third time talking about Jurassic Park for different reasons today.
Somebody needs to stop this,
man. I can't be stopped.
How about Jurassic World? How do you feel about it? You love it?
It's not even wholesome horror. It's just unwholesome boring.
Uh-oh. Have you seen the second one?
Fallen Kingdom?
Yeah.
I liked it more.
I haven't seen it.
It was better than the first one.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I'll have to actually check it out.
Because it did some stuff that was weird. And so it wasn't maybe a good movie, but it tried
at
things.
At least it did something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas
the first
Jurassic World is almost a one-to-one knockoff of Jurassic Park in the same way Star Wars Episode 7 is a one-to-one knockoff of Episode 4.
But just worse.
Yeah. The thing
with
Jurassic World is it's not even fun to watch, really.
No, yeah. It's kind of boring.
Yeah. Episode 7 of Star Wars was good.
So is The Quiet Place Part 2.
Quiet Place Part 2 is also good.
It's good.
Yeah.
Almost as good. No, it's not. But it's good. Not
almost as good as
Jurassic Park.
No!
No.
No, it's not. Don't step on that.
If you have the option to watch either of those movies,
it depends on how many times you've seen Jurassic Park. If you've seen it a lot of times, which is the right amount, then watch a different movie, you know? Go see something else, Quiet Place Part 2, you'll love it. If you like Jurassic Park, you'll love it.
Or
if you haven't seen Jurassic Park, turn this off. Go watch Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Or if it's Jurassic Park or Cruella, definitely go for Cruella, because it just blew Jurassic Park out of the water.
Cruella is a modern master.
I heard Steven Spielberg died watching Cruella out of shame that he had not created it. Anyways, yeah, no, Quiet Place Part 2, nah, I'll bump it to a 9. 8.5.
Just give it an 8.7. How about that?
8.7 out of 10. Yeah. It's an 8.7
out of 10. I'm giving it a 9 out of 10. I don't know why this... I'm just going with the one... No fractions in this house.
I like fractions.
Nine out of ten.
They make me feel better.
Yeah, okay.
9 out of 10. 8.7 out of 10. Go see the movie.
Well, did we have a sign-off?
It was like, I'm not your mom. And I'm not your mom.
No, I said dad because I'm a man.
Oh. I didn't consider it. a new one. This one has to be Quiet Place themed.
Oh, we are just changing it every time? Mm. I kind of thought we had to have like one for...
Well, we'll find it. But, I don't know what it is.
Okay. Well, if it's a Quiet Place, it's probably just... Shh. That's terrible, though. That's gonna
What if... Never mind.
What?
No.
What if we just said nothing?
No.
What if we did it in ASL?
Yeah, time to do our sign out in ASL.
And that sign, basically, we love you all. We hope you have a wonderful night. It's interesting how the rain sometimes comes in and then leaves abruptly, like when you're driving home from the theater. But regardless, we wanted to record this just for you, and we just really hope you enjoy the product as much as we do, and you should go see A Quiet Place Part 2.
It was like that, yeah.
That's more or less what I signed. Kenyon signed something different, like Poopy Bottom. Blood. He's trying to do the gang sign blood thing. It's not working. It just looks like sunglasses.
Bye-bye.